Could we turn again to the passage from which we were reading? That's Genesis chapter 8, and we'll read again in verse 1. Genesis chapter 8, we'll be ranging over this whole chapter in our sermon tonight, but we'll take verse 1 as our particular focus. And God remembered Noah and every living thing, and all the cattle that was with him in the ark. And God made a wind to pass over the earth, and the waters assuaged. Noah has done all that the Lord commanded. He has built this great ark that he's been instructed to build, this vast construction project over a period of many years. He has obeyed the Lord in entering the ark along with the animals, along with his family members, and the Lord has closed the door and has sent his rain of judgment upon the earth, and the flood waters now cover the surface of the earth, and the ark is afloat upon the waters. It is a fearful time. Noah, you see, he has believed. He has done what the Lord commanded, and yet now he must endure. Imagine what it must have been like to be inside that ark, week after week, month after month, as the judgment of God battered that earth, as the very surface of the world was being reshaped by the power of God. And there, they hid within that ark. There they waited to see what would come. You know, there are many who imagine that we commence the Christian life, and at that point of commencement, all is wonderful, and that from then on, it is smooth sailing. They imagine it is pleasant seas. It is as though you took a little rowing boat out upon the pond, and it is smooth waters on all sides. And that's their imagination, that's their picture of the Christian life. All the trouble comes before, but once you're a Christian, well, that's it. Everything's fine, everything's sorted. And so many people struggle with assurance because they feel themselves to be so up and down. They think, well, how can I possibly be a Christian? Because these Christians, well, they have it smooth and easy. But you see, the scripture rather gives us a different picture of the Christian life. And I want you to see that the Christian life is rather more like Noah in this ark. It is a life of ups and downs. It is a life of storms. It is a life of much confusion. The reality of the Christian life can be very challenging and very disheartening at times. And yet here is a text that offers comfort in the midst of the battle, in the midst of the storm that the Lord sends. In the midst of that, let's see our text. And God remembered Noah. You see, that is our confidence, that the Lord is remembering us, even in all our confusion and doubts and fears and worries and anxieties, that the Lord is remembering us and that the Lord is continuing to work in us, despite the turmoil, as we feel it, of our mental life and of our spiritual life. So that then will be our theme for a few moments this night, the believer's safekeeping in Christ. And we hope that we can draw some encouragement from the experience of Noah for ourselves as Christians, or as those who seek to become Christians, that we ourselves may be guided in the truth of God's word and be encouraged and taught by it. The believer's safekeeping in Christ. First of all then, let's see the troubles that face the believer. The troubles that face the believer. You see, Noah had believed. He trusted in the Lord. He'd built the ark. He had entered the ark in faith, trusting that the Lord would keep him safe. And yet still now, he finds himself battling as this ark endures the dreadful, punishing storm that the Lord has sent upon the earth. Think of the believer's anxiety. Noah is there as one who trusts God, and yet think what anxiety, what fear must fill him. He's in a dark and a confined space. Yes, the ark is vast, but no matter how big a place is, if you're confined within it, it seems small. It is dark. There are the animals, the reptiles, the birds, all around. You can imagine the smell, the claustrophobic feel of so many beasts packed into one place. We maybe wonder about the practicalities of it. My own thought is that it's very likely that the Lord had sent a kind of supernatural hibernation upon all the creatures in the ark, so that they slept peacefully, they did not prey upon one another, they did not reproduce until the time had come to leave the ark. But that is just speculation. We do not know for sure. But what we do know is that this must have been a hard and a grim experience. Children, think what it is to be trapped in an enclosed space, to be in a dark room and have no way to get out. No way to open the curtains, no way to open the door and to let the light in. But all around is darkness, is confusion, is fear. And that's what Noah was experiencing inside this confined space. And who can imagine the terror as the rain of God poured down ceaselessly, thundering off the roof of that ark, as the waters gathered, lifted eventually the ark, creaking and groaning off its resting place, and now it was sweeping with the great waves as the earth rocked under it. As the earthquakes raged, as the tectonic plates moved, as great volcanoes exploded, the whole surface of the earth being reshaped under it. And imagine what it would be like to be tossed up and down in that ark. It would be a fearful experience. And you know, we have so much to fear as believers. We're so confused at times. We see so little. We can feel ourselves sometimes locked in the darkness, seeing only our own sin, seeing not the slightest glimmer of light or of mercy around us. We feel, I am a sinner, I deserve hell, and I'm not seeing anything to encourage me. And it's like we're going down and down and down into the trough. And yet then, there is mercy, there is grace. And so we're maybe lifted out of it for a time, and we maybe get a sight of something, of a sense of the Lord's presence, a sense of communion with Him, a special experience in a service or in a time of private worship. And then again, we're down into the doldrums again. There are many of us who have to endure troubled, confused Christian lives. Christian lives that are not smooth, that are not easy. You see, the believers anxiety. And yet in the midst of that anxiety, like Noah, we can take this comfort. And God remembered Noah. That's our hope, you see, in the midst of all this anxiety. God remembered Noah. Then there's the believer's doubt. And again, this comes very naturally. All of the rest of the world has been destroyed. Everyone else has died. Noah is aware that all there is between him and death is the fragile structure of that ark, the pitch that he had applied to waterproof it. That is all. If it springs a leak, if it should break, if a great rock should come crashing through the side, then there is but death and destruction for all on board. He would doubt in these circumstances. He would doubt. He would question, am I really safe? Am I really safe from this dreadful judgment all around me? Is this just going to end in my death, in my destruction as well? And so it is as believers. We doubt at times. Yes, we know we've experienced privileges that the world around us hasn't, and yet we doubt. We question, am I one of the Lord's people? Am I not? Am I, as it were, really in the ark, or am I still outside? We think to ourselves, surely a believer wouldn't think these things that I do. Surely a believer wouldn't want to do the things that I want to do. Surely God's people wouldn't really be as sinful as that. And when we're confronted, you see, with our own sin, it makes us doubt, doesn't it? We doubt, we wonder. At our darkest moments, we wonder, is there any mercy at all in this world? Is this world just the bleak and grim and empty place it can sometimes appear? And yet in the midst of doubt, we've got the same encouragement, don't we? And God remembered Noah. Even if we are doubting, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. Anxiety, doubt, the believer's longing. Because this again marks the believer. We long for the world that is to come. We long for a world without sin. We long for a world of purity and of holiness. Noah, you see, in the ark was longing, wasn't he? The children will know what it's like to be on the ferry on a rough crossing when you're feeling sick and squeamish and you're just longing for it to get into the port so that you can get your feet in dry land, so that your stomach won't be churning, so that you won't be feeling so miserable. And think of Noah stuck in that ark week after week, month after month, not just a little squall, but the dreadful storms caused by earthquakes and volcanoes and all sorts. The horror of it and the longing to be off it. And yet for a whole year he had to endure that grim confinement. So it is, you see, with ourselves. We're confined here. We don't yet have access to heaven. We don't yet have access to pure holiness. We're stuck in a situation of desiring to be holy and yet having a reality of personal unholiness and being constantly aware of it and constantly feeling, I am so far short of what I wish I was. And we feel a measure of self-loathing as we contemplate the sins that we do and the sins we desire to do. And we think of what we would wish to be. And that prospect is before us. Heaven is a place of perfect holiness, where there will neither be sin nor the desire for sin. But we're not there yet. And so we are longing, like Noah, longing for what is to come. And yet our life goes on and it continues. And so it must, until the Lord's time for us to be on this earth is concluded. And in the midst of that, our comfort is the same. And God remembered Noah. And God remembered me. And God remembered you. That is the only comfort that we can have in the midst of the sin and the discouragement of this world. So you see, we're led to find our comfort in the midst of the flood, in the midst of the storm. We're led to find our comfort only in him. I can't take comfort in myself. I can't take comfort in what I've done. But I can take comfort in my God. I can take comfort in what Jesus Christ has done. Because he is faithful. And he continues faithful. And that faithfulness is our hope. God remembered Noah. So much then on the troubles that face the believer. Let's consider secondly the powers that keep the believer. This, you see, is the comfort now of this text. And God remembered Noah and every living thing and all the cattle that was with him in the ark. And God made a wind to pass over the earth, and the waters assuaged. You see here the power of the triune God at work, the three persons of the Trinity. Let's see, the Father remembers the believer. God looked down upon Noah and God remembered Noah. The text is not saying God looked down and suddenly remembered Noah in the way that we might forget something and then remember it. It indicates rather God remembered Noah and continued to remember Noah. Noah was always before the mind of God and Noah was always being kept by the power, by the providence of God. God was safeguarding him, and Noah was perfectly safe. God remembered Noah. And so it is, you see, with the believer. There are difficulties in this life. There are terrible troubles. There are trials which we would never choose for ourselves. And there are, let us acknowledge it, temptations that sometimes we fall into and fall into badly. And so we have pitfalls, and so we make fools of ourselves, and so we disgrace ourselves, and so we feel ashamed to come before our God. And yet, God remembered Noah. The Father remembers the believer, and he has chosen the believer, and he loves the believer. And he is working in us to draw us to himself. And though we make mistakes, though we fall back, yet he is the one picking us up, setting us on the way again, teaching us a bit more about dependence upon him, teaching us a bit more about walking in faithfulness to him. He is leading us along the way. As the Apostle Paul says of the Lord, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. You see, this refers us to the eternal purpose of God, that he has chosen for himself a people, and that he will assuredly save his people. His people will be brought to their great port, their great destination, to heaven itself. That is certain. It will happen. The Lord is drawing his people to himself. The Father remembers the believer. The Son protects the believer. The Son, you see, is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one who's died for the sins of all his people. And he's pictured for us in this passage in the ark itself. Noah is worried and anxious, but he doesn't realize he is perfectly safe. That ark has been designed according to God's specifications, and nothing can break or cause that ark to be damaged until its purpose is fulfilled. The ark of God is secure, and so it is with the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one who has died for his people. He has loved them. He has loved them unto the end. He has suffered. He has died. That wipes the slate clean. If your trust is in Christ tonight, then your sins are purged and cleansed. As the Lord Jesus said at the conclusion of his sufferings, it is finished. And that is his message to you regarding all your sin, regarding to all that you have ever done to offend him. It is finished. It is paid for. It is done with. It is dealt with. I have wiped the slate clean. You see the safety that we have when the Son protects the believer. Are you protected eternally in that ark of God? Are you safe in the Lord Jesus Christ? Oh friend, are you trusting in him? That's the question. The only question, the vital question, the crucial question. Are you resting on Christ, or are you still trusting in yourself? The Father remembers. The Son protects. Let's see also the Spirit sustains the believer. Let's see the wind of the Spirit blowing in this passage. God made a wind to pass over the earth, and the waters assuaged. He is protecting his people, and so the wind blows, to calm the waters, to cause them to retreat, to cause the waves to calm, so that the ark will be guided safely towards dry land. So it is with the Holy Spirit. He upholds through all the challenges of this life. He is the one who is there beside us, enduring with us, keeping us, guarding us, protecting us. Yes, sometimes we fall, sometimes we sin and sin grossly, and sometimes we have much reason for shame. But you see, it is the Spirit who has done the work. And having begun a good work in you, will he not bring it unto completion? As the Lord Jesus says, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. It's his work. He's the one who's blown into your soul. He's the one who's changed you. And he's the one who's drawing you. Yes, with mistakes. Yes, with fails. But drawing you towards his everlasting destination. His work is mysterious. Yes, but it is real. There are times that he withdraws his presence, that he hides his face, that we see only darkness. But these times are only there to teach us to depend more fully, more abundantly, more completely upon his mercy. His presence is then restored. His wind blows once more, and we feel his presence, and we are comforted. So, dear friend, if you're trusting in Christ, then see the confidence that you can have in your God. The Father remembers the believer. The Son protects the believer. The Spirit sustains the believer. The power of God at work to keep us and to bring us unto that great destination. And that brings us then, thirdly, to consider the blessings that safeguard the believer. We've spoken of the troubles that we face and of the powers that keep the believer. But let's see now the blessings that safeguard the believer. And God remembered Noah and every living thing and all the cattle that was with him in the ark. And God made a wind to pass over the earth, and the waters assuaged. Think of these blessings, the sanctification of the believer. What do we mean by that? It means the gradual work whereby over a period of time the believer is drawn more and more into holiness and to love holiness and to walk in holiness. It is a steady work developing over time in the life of the believer. It's a little bit like what we see in this passage. The wind blows and the waters start to retreat. It's slow, agonizingly slow. Month after month, Noah has to wait as the waters slowly retreat. We see it with the birds. He's testing the ground. One bird, then another, sent out to look, sent out to see. Is it yet dry? Is it yet safe? Will it yet be able to sustain life? And each time he has to wait longer. He has to be patient. So it is with sanctification. Things are developing overall in the right direction. For the Lord's people, there is a measure of upward progress. There is a greater love for the Lord than once there was. There is a greater love for holiness than once there was. There's a greater desire for holiness, and the Lord is drawing you to himself. Sometimes it doesn't look that way. Sometimes it seems the opposite. An illustration is sometimes used of this, of a person bouncing a ball up a flight of stairs. There is downward motion, there is upward motion, and yet there is progress. Bounce, 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 up each step. And so it is with the Christian life. Many ups and downs, and yet the trend is upward. And the Lord is drawing us unto himself. The waters are being assuaged. And the many experiences that we have to pass through, the troubles, the trials, these things are being blessed to us and are being used for our holiness. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. See, as in this account, Noah is brought through to enter this new world of promise that has been prepared for him. It has taken time. It has involved much endurance. But at last he is brought to the destination. He is brought to the point where he can lift off the covering of the ark and at last walk out onto this virgin world that has been prepared for him and for the animals in the ark to re-establish once again their lives. The wonder of God's inheritance. See too the guidance of the believer. The guidance. Because there is guidance here in this passage. The wind is blowing. And not only is it causing the waters to assuage, it's also guiding the ark towards a safe resting place on Mount Ararat, where it will be secure and safe to rest, to wait until the waters have withdrawn sufficiently for the earth to sustain life. The water, the wind serves that purpose of guiding the ark into the final haven. And so it is with us. We are prepared, we are drawn toward God's everlasting destination, towards heaven itself, towards the world, the new world that he has prepared for us. And that hope is laid before us in Scripture, that blessed, exciting hope of a new world, of a new order, of a new way of life that doesn't involve sin, that doesn't involve death and ugliness and horror, but involves holiness and walking in the presence of the Lord. Says the writer in the Song of Solomon, "For lo, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone, the flowers appear in the earth,
The time of the singing of birds is come, and the voice of the turtle is heard in the land.
So it will be as we enter our new world, the new heavens and the new earth, prepared for us from all eternity by the power, by the provision of our blessed Lord. He is the one guiding us towards that destination, and it is assured in Christ. So again, our trust not in ourselves, our trust in Christ to bring us there and to provide us the blessing of that destination. And see therefore the promise to the believer, the promise that we have to sustain us and to keep us. Noah had a promise. You'll see it in verse 22 of our passage. The Lord promised to Noah, while the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night, shall not cease. The earth would continue, Noah would be safe. This earth would not be destroyed. Noah could go out with confidence, knowing that he and his family would not be wiped off the earth again by another flood. A promise to preserve. And so it is with us. We too have received a promise from the Lord that he will preserve us. His mercy and his grace are expressed to us in the sure promises of his word. And we can hold to these promises, cling to them, trust in them, in the midst of a world full of despair and confusion. Hear the word of the Lord by the prophet Isaiah. This is from chapter 54. For a small moment have I forsaken thee, but with great mercies will I gather thee. In a little wrath I hid my face from thee for a moment, but with everlasting kindness will I have mercy upon thee, saith the Lord, thy Redeemer. For this is as the waters of Noah unto me. For as I have sworn that the waters of Noah should no more go over the earth, so have I sworn that I would not be wroth with thee, nor rebuke thee. For the mountains shall depart, and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord that hath mercy upon thee. Oh, the sweetness of the faithfulness of God. You see what he's saying? The prophet is saying, just as the Lord promised to Noah, no more a flood, so the Lord has promised to us to bring us to the place of everlasting salvation. We have a God who is faithful to his promise, and that is ground for trust in him. He is faithful. He has proved himself faithful. He has shown himself faithful so many times over. Therefore, let us trust in him, rest in him, hope in him in the midst of a world full of discouragement and confusion. But see the condition. See the condition. You must have faith in him. This is the sure and certain mark of the people of God, that their trust is in Jesus Christ. And ultimately this is what matters. This is what marks out the people who are headed for this great destination from the people who are not and who are lost. That they are trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. The believers safekeeping in Christ. Some final thoughts and application. Let's see then, based on all that we have said, therefore, it is vital to examine ourselves in the light of this truth. If faithfulness to the Lord Jesus Christ is what marks out his people, and if his people have this destination before us, then this is what we must have. Let each one of us examine himself or herself in the light of the scriptures, in the light of God's revelation, to see that we are indeed in the Lord Jesus Christ. See that you're not trusting in your own repentance, in your own sorry feelings for the sins you've done. See that you're not trusting in your own works, in the attempts that you do to do what is right and good. See that you're not trusting in your own ability to persevere. Make sure that your faith is indeed in the Lord Jesus Christ to pay the price for you, to do the work that you are unable to do. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. If you are, then find confidence in the purpose of God. There is safety in him. There is security in him. His wind blows, and his wind is guiding you towards the final haven. Trust in him. Look to him. And he will grant light in due time, in times of darkness and hopelessness and despair. Look to him and he will restore the joy of his presence, the experience of his face once more. Look to him and find joy and gladness in him. And if you're not trusting, and if you know you're not, then see the desperate urgency. You must flee to him. There is no other way. There is no other port in this storm. The only place of refuge is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let every one of us have reason, have ground to trust in Christ. Let every one of us realize that he is the only way of escape. Oh, what a fearful thing it would be for one of us here sitting under the gospel to at last have to look back and say, well, I misspent my life. I heard the message and I despised it and I went my own way. I didn't obey while I had the opportunity. Oh, turn even now. See that he is willing to receive you. See that his mercy is sufficient for you. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, for he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Amen. The Lord bless to us his word and enable us so to respond. Let us come before him in prayer. O most holy God, we worship thee, we magnify thy name, that thou art God. We rejoice that salvation is in thee alone, and we praise thee for the wonder of the believer's safe keeping in Christ. This is our hope, this is what we trust to, this is what we hope in, that Christ is our Saviour, and that he will guide us to our rest. Look upon us, we pray, in mercy and in grace. See us in Jesus, and see us as cleansed in him. And continue with us, we pray, in Christ's precious name and for his sake. Amen.